Welcome to Heart Race Radio. Welcome to Heart Race Radio. I'm your host, InQuest, and Big Spiff over here.
Hi, everybody.
All right, so let me tell you, give you a rundown and breakdown of the show real quick. We're going to start with our opening discussion. And opening discussion comes from a couple of things we saw on Facebook. We want to go ahead and address it. So let me put out there to everyone. A young gentleman makes about $28,000 a year. And he proposes to the young lady that he's in love with, proposes to her twice. She doesn't accept the proposal yet. She's hesitant because she's getting about $5,000 in alimony. And she'll lose that alimony in the event that she decides to get married again. So he's a simple man. He proposes twice. She won't accept just yet because she's going to lose her $5,000 in alimony. Tell me how you feel about this. What do you feel, Big Norm? Big Spiff, you gonna go? Is she going to get married? What do you feel she should do?
I have a problem with even wanting to marry a chick like this. Any chick that tells you no twice, you usually walk away from. But since he didn't, he's only making $28,000. I mean, if $28,000 can pay for an apartment and get you a used car.
Hold up, though. But she said she said no the first time, but she didn't leave him.
So it's obvious he's not her first choice.
Yeah, wait. How do you figure that he's not the first choice just because she said no? Obviously, there's some things that she's not necessarily comfortable with before she can pull the trigger on going ahead and latching her horse to that carriage.
A woman wants to be in a relationship. It's just a natural thing for a woman. So for a woman to tell you no, and you are a great guy, she loves you, but she tells you no, she don't want to be married, something that she naturally wants to do, you're not
for
short.
No, I don't agree with that. What I'm saying, wait a minute now. She's in the scenario. She's actually in love with this dude. She just hasn't said yes to him yet. Obviously, there's something that's going on with him that she's not 100% comfortable with. So she needs some time to be okay with whatever it is. Now, obviously, they haven't talked about it because he keeps proposing. He hasn't fixed that particular situation yet, but he's proposing. She hasn't left him because most women, when you try to go to the marriage point and she doesn't want to be married to you, then they realize that it's not going to get there and they leave. But she's still with him. So it doesn't mean that he's not her first choice. Obviously, he just got some stuff he need to fix up.
I guarantee you, if a brother came along with what the thing she's really looking for, she's going to leave that guy. No matter the fact that she loves him, as she says she does, he's not her first choice. It's just the bottom line. I mean, he's giving her everything she wants other than the fact that he makes $28,000 a year. That's just an excuse not to be with him.
All right, let's take a look at some of the comments that that were on from the social media post. But before you take a look for that. Now my thing is, you're saying that he's not her first choice. And what I'm saying is, if he wasn't her first choice and he's proposing, then the simple fact that he proposed means that he's trying to get to a level that she doesn't even want to be on. That would have triggered her either leaving or making it to the point where he wouldn't even be comfortable proposing two times. So obviously he's her choice. He just got he has some things that he needs to fix up in the house.
Make more money.
$28,000 makes him ineligible to marry this woman at $5,000. So $5,000 she's getting
60,
from income.
000, she makes $60,000 a year.
Okay.
And so that alone, half the money, basically half, is not worth marrying this guy.
Well, wait a minute. So you're telling me that there's a price tag on love now? So the simple fact that people do it all the time. People, somebody that makes more money than the other person will still get married to him.
But that's as far as she goes. She got a price on her love.
So you would say that she's not in love then?
No, she's not in love.
All right, so
that's just something to say and make him feel good about rejecting her, but she's not in love with that guy.
What are some of the comments that we got from social media out here? I see one of them is, my man writes, if she makes $60,000 a year, and I make $28,000, then I should be able to just put my money with hers and we don't have to get married. Wow. Okay.
So how do you feel about that?
That's one way to do it. I mean, I guess it just depends on how important the sanctity of marriage is to you at that point.
Here goes one of the messages. No offense, $28,000 is not money. We can speak as if we love conquers all, but tell that to DTE, State Farm, etc. We have to be realistic about our future. $5,000 a month is not easy to walk away from. That's one. And then I got another post. This is from a guy that shocked me. I'm trying to figure out how he's making it on $28,000 a year. And then the person's like, right. Not to put anyone down, but wow, I made that at 21 years old. Can't imagine that now. So basically his manhood is based on how much money he makes. So I guess she don't want to marry a little boy because he only making $28,000.
Wait a minute now. There's a lot of people out there that don't necessarily make $28,000. I don't think that makes them any less of a man, though.
Oh, I agree.
But that's what these comments are saying. So what it sounded like to me is that manhood is achieved at a threshold of income.
That's what it sounds like.
That is what it sounds like. That sounds like what social media is talking about.
This is from another guy. Dudes are crazy. He'll make a chick on – he'll meet a chick on AIDS. And we'll never ask her to get off and live with that benefit as long as he can. But because his ego won't let him add $28,000 to $60,000, whatever else she makes goes a lot further. I would never ask a woman to give up that because obviously marriage don't always last. And
wow,
that would be a benefit for me as well as her. And that comes from a brother that's married.
Okay, so for starters, let me just put out there, I don't believe, and this might offend some, but I don't believe in child support for grown-ups, which is what alimony is. But in the event, obviously, if she's got the alimony until she gets married again, then she was married for a very long time, not working at all. And they gave her grown-up child support until she gets married again.
Look, this goes back to, like I said, it's not a first choice. Most of the time you hear women say these things to men, but they're with guys who just sitting on their couch playing video games with their kid, using their car while they go to work. So to come back and say, if he makes $28,000, that's not enough, it's bullcrap. It's just the fact that he's not their first choice.
All right. But this is my thing. From the comments that we just read, just from the ones that you looked at, it really seems like people are calling in manhood in the question at a certain threshold of income. So I think I'm about to change the question just a little bit and just be like,
let me give you this last one.
All right, what you got?
It ain't true, but he couldn't continue to make $28,000. He needs to make it to the next level so that her $5,000 isn't an issue. Go to school, invest. Do something, but I still won't be with a man who doesn't need or want more than $28,000. He should be grinding and making it happen, not settling for that.
You know, I'm inclined to agree with a piece of that.
What do you mean?
Well, if you had $28,000,
right?
As someone who's ready to get married, at $28,000, saying that you're going to support a family. You shouldn't be complacent at that point. You should have ambition. Maybe that's where you're at, and there's nothing wrong with it if that's where you're at.
But you should
have some ambition to try and further and get further.
But some people, even if they have ambition, won't make more than that. Some people start. What if he started off making $5 an hour? And now he's at what, 13 something an hour?
Well, then he made it.
Right. And now you want to say you're not mad? You're not mad because you don't have ambition? The same ambition that she has? He's not her first choice. He's not the man she really wants. Because if the man comes around making $28,000 and shows her ambition, she's going to go with that guy.
Let's open it up to the line. I've got a caller in here. I'm about to bring him live real quick. Let's see. Now, this is the inaugural the first episode of Heart Race, and we are still figuring out these controls. So if things don't go 100% as planned, you'll have to bear with us. But let me see about bringing a caller online here. And, yeah, that's not happening. Not happening right now. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to ask you, Norm, since I can't ask any caller coming in. I do have a call coming in, but we can't pick you up. So if you can hear my voice, we're trying. We'll get it figured out in a minute. But to further your point, what you were saying about him not being a first choice, it's not about a first choice. In this particular situation, you've got somebody that, like you said, is making $60,000 an hour. I mean, $60,000 a year, that they're not going to be able to make that anymore. This is something that they're not going to be able to make anymore. The second that they get married, so they're basically going to hang up whatever they know as their lifestyle and income to take on something else. That doesn't mean that he's not her first choice. That means that she has to make a practical decision for her life at that point.
A practical decision. If this is a man you truly love, like you said, you will go in and know that you're still going to build something. If this man is showing you what type of man he is, he's showing you he will go out there and grind. And you should be comfortable and feel safe that this man's going to lead you to something better. But the fact that you sit back and say, I'm making $60,000, you're making $28,000, and I don't even want a chance of losing this money because of the amount of money you're making. And that right there in itself is a problem. And women, I said again, this is how you tell if you're a woman's first choice or if she's your first choice. If you was to hit the lotto, would you keep that same spouse? Would you still be with that woman or that man after you hit the lotto? If your answer is yes, that's your first choice. But if your answer is, I don't know, if you pause, if you got to think about it,
well, I can afford something better now.
First choice.
I think I could afford something a little better now. I think I'm trying my chances in the field.
I know some guys like they won some money. It ain't even $1 million. That's less than one. Because she wasn't their first choice. They figured they can get a better car, they can get a better woman. So, I mean, we sitting back and we were saying that, oh, she wants this because of the money. If a woman wants it, if it was, what's more important? Her or money? What, it's not a practical decision if this is a man that's going to stand by you. It's not a practical decision at all. So, I mean, hello? I think I lost.
I am trying to bring a caller online right now, and let's see, caller, do I have you on the line?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you? So, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Joel. I'm calling from the metropolitan area of Detroit, Michigan.
What's going on, Joel? So, in regards to this here conversation that we're having, what are you feeling? What's your feeling? What's your take on this?
Well, I mean, I have to agree with the sentiments expressed thus far. I mean, you know, how can you, at $28,000, feasibly ask somebody who with that sort of income to marry you? I mean, maybe if the roles were reversed, traditionally speaking, you know, the man is more often the provider than the woman, you know, it may be more acceptable. But I feel like he should step it up a bit before he tries to put a ring on it. I mean, you got to think about the cost of weddings. You know, to rent a reception venue is about half of your annual income. How dare you?
So you tell Joe that the money from her ex-husband is more important than her future.
Well, I'm saying, is it true? Okay, so we're saying this gentleman that makes $28,000 proposes
right.
to a woman and she turns him down, right?
This is the third time.
And this is the third time. So, I mean, you know, I can only speak for myself, guys, and I'd say, you know, for me, there at $28,000, there wouldn't have been a first time.
So okay, so let's say she's on A, and he got
$28,000. Is that a difference then?
I'm sorry, one more time, sir.
If the fact that she was on government assistance and $28,000, would that be a problem then?
If she was on government assistance or he was, are you saying him, right?
No, I'm sorry, I'm she was. She's on government assistance. He's still making $28,000 and he wants to marry her. Did you say that's a problem?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I can only speak for myself, and you know, given my experience,
from your point of view, if you met a chick, you making $28,000, and she's on government assistance, she should look at you and say, "You need to grind more."
Maybe she's on government assistance, but again, we're talking about this example where this chick makes considerably more than he makes. You know,
okay.
And I mean, to even propose to somebody on that level, you have to be there or exceeded. So to answer your question, no. You know, maybe
so
not, because...
Two people can't build and get better? But it's
so far behind. Okay, now, let me ask you this. Is this guy making $28,000 in school? Because if so, that's definitely a game changer. He's aspiring to be more. But if he's making $28,000 and, you know, isn't improving himself or his financial situation, then no, he doesn't have any business asking.
Okay, let me ask you this. You're calling from where?
I'm calling from Detroit. Well, the
metropolitan
area of Detroit.
Now, in the Detroit area, you telling me most people in Detroit are making more than $28,000?
No, that's definitely not what I'm saying.
Okay. Are people there getting together?
You said, are people getting together who make $28,000?
Making less than $28,000.
Yes, there are people who are getting together.
Are they making it work?
You said, are they making it work? Of course.
So why would you put a limit on a person's income whether or not you decide to be with them? If people that are making a lot less than $28,000 making it work, why couldn't you make it work with him making $28,000 or
$1 million? I'm inclined to agree with my man Joe though. He can't afford to provide for the lifestyle that she already has. Period.
It's not a lifestyle that she's in as her husband. Her ex-husband provides.
It doesn't matter who's providing the lifestyle. That's the lifestyle that she got.
Wait. I didn't catch that at the beginning of the show. Did you say that she's getting $60,000 in alimony per year?
Yeah, she's getting 60 G's in alimony.
Oh no.
Which means she gets zero the second she gets married.
I'm going to have to go to the dark side here. I'm going to have to go to the dark side.
Lord Vader.
I'm sorry, Darth Maul.
Lord Vader, can you hear me?
Insert Star Wars plug here. December,
right.
Whatever it releases. But that's a game changer. Like you said, if you were on government assistance and you were making $28,000 legitimately, you were working for it, and, you know, all she's doing is sitting back and collecting the check and she's turning you down so that she can still make the money, then,
that would be a problem, right?
Yeah, but after the first rejection, that should pretty much tell the guy who he's asking to marry him.
I agree in that point right there.
Would you say that he's not her first choice?
Would you say that he's not her first choice?
Yeah, he's not her first choice.
Oh, most definitely. He's probably not
her
fifth choice.
All right, we found common ground here. Joe, I like you. I want you to stay on. We're gonna take some more callers, and we're about to start the heart race game. Now, let me explain to everybody. This is the first time we're doing this, so this is how the heart race game goes. Joe, bear with me for a second. I'm going to keep you on the line. We got some other callers in here, and essentially the way the heart race game works is that we're going to have a female caller call in, and we're going to take three male callers. We're going to take three male callers, and essentially the way it works is to, in order to make a connection, they're going to answer some questions that we provide. And she's going to make a selection out of three people, which ones are going to advance. Once she narrows that down to one, then we'll have a winner and a connection. So, Joel, we got you on the line. Let me bring on another caller here. Hold on one second.
I lived over by the college. All
right, caller, you are on the line. You got InQuest and Big Spiff. May I get your name, please?
My name is Jennifer, and I'm from Metro Detroit.
How you doing, Jennifer?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. All right, Jennifer, let me ask you this. What is your, so you said from Metro Detroit. So what is your age and your occupation and the relation status?
Well, I am fixed. I am single. I have no children.
No.
I have a full-time job.
No baby.
Yeah, no baby. I have a dog. So
what
I guess that would be my child. I have a pit bull. I have a red nose.
Oh, see. That's a major turn off for me, but I'm not playing. What kind of dog? How big of a pit bull are we talking right about now?
Well, he's probably a little bit over. He's roughly about 100 pounds, maybe a little bit over.
So you got a baby eater. You got a baby eater.
Oh yeah, he'll eat it.
Jennifer, that doesn't sound like a dog. That sounds like a tenant. Does he pay rent?
Right.
Jennifer, I just want a quick question.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right with that $28,000.
Here you go with that.
Wait, I'm sorry. I can barely hear you.
Jennifer. And you love him to death.
What do you mean? Will I give up my dog?
And you love him. Would you give up your alimony from your ex-husband?
For my dog?
From your ex-husband.
No.
You keep the alimony. Whoa, what's up with women and money?
All right, we got Jennifer on the line. Joel, we never asked you your age, your occupation, and your relation status.
Sure thing. 28 years old. I'm a computer salesman, and I am single.
All right, 28.
No, his voice went deep. I'm a computer salesman. Y'all hear it, Joel.
All right, let's see who else we got on the line here.
Screening like a motherfucker. I'm screening.
All right, caller, we got you on the line here. Let me get your name.
Oh, shit. This is Osiris from this is Osiris from the metro area, Detroit.
Whoa, the D-town.
What up, though?
Wow.
What's going on, Osiris? So how old are you, my good sir?
35, just turned 35.
Just turned 35.
August 9th.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, August 9th. Osiris, belated. Let me ask you, what do you do? What's your occupation?
Search engine evaluator. I'm not going to try to fancy it up, but I'm, I work for a company, Google Outsources.
Okay. All right. Well, search engine evaluator, 35 years old, from the metro. You single?
Yes.
All right, we got a single 35, and unless all right, we got two single eligible bachelors here. Let's see if we can line up one more. I got another. Call. Hold on a second. I think I might have just dropped my man.
Mm-mm.
Let's see who we got on the line. All right, caller, we got you on the line. May I have your name, please?
Oh, I'm on the line?
Yes, sir, you are. Name, sir.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Been trying to get through. Yeah, my name is Ben. For the Detroit area. Yeah, Ben.
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
All right.
So, Ben, what's your occupation, sir?
Sales and marketing.
Sales and marketing. Ben, are you a single gentleman?
Yep.
Yep.
I love it.
All right, we got three single gentlemen. I believe we got ourselves enough to play the game. All right, so first question on deck. The way this works is, Jennifer, you're going to I'm going to ask the question. Three gentlemen are going to take their turns answering the question, and then you will decide which two you're going to advance based on the answer. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Joe, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Osiris. Here we go. First question, what is the first thing that you need to know when you first meet someone? What's the most important thing that you need to know when you first meet someone?
Joe, that's you first.
All righty. Wow, that's a pretty tough question. The first thing outside of hygiene, let's see. Well, the first thing I would want to know is because, you know, I'm not somebody who lives for now. I'm someone who lives for the future. I would have to know if she is family-oriented.
Okay. All right.
That's good.
I like that one. Just family-oriented. All right. Big Joe said family-oriented. All right. Osiris, are you still there?
Yes.
All right, Osiris, the question is, what is the most important thing you need to know when you first meet a young lady?
The most important thing I need to know is if we are compatible, can we have fun? I don't want to know about the future yet. I want to know right then and there if we can have a conversation that will make us both laugh, make us both smile. We can relate. We can freaking have so much fun laughing and talking that we touch each other in a different way where it's friendly but flirting.
Let this man speak. He's kicking that Hallmark card. Go ahead and speak.
That's my foreplay. I want some friendly flirting, getting to it, build up to it. I want a challenge. I don't want the simple thing where she is easy. I want that. I want to work for it.
So you want work.
I want to work for it.
My man. You know what, Osiris? You're the only person I know that could take it from fun to work and actually make that make sense.
Yeah. That was right there.
Big Ben, Jennifer wants to know, what's the most important thing that you need to know when you first meet a young lady?
I need to know where her mind is at. You know, I need to know, you know, where are you trying to head to? You know, where's your head at? You know, you got a lot of crazy people out here that's talking a lot of this and that. You know, I need to know where your mind is. What's your maturity level? You know,
okay,
can you hold a conversation? You know, can you talk as well as listen? You know.
All right,
that's
so
what I believe.
Jennifer, we got Joe with family. We got Osiris with fun. And Ben want to be your psychiatrist. He want to know where your mental state is. So which two will be advancing on to the next round?
All right, well, let's go ahead and get rid of that last guy because he tripping. I don't need a psychiatrist at all. I mean, I get where you coming from, but I'm good.
Hey, Big Ben. I appreciate you calling in, Big Ben. You know what, though? You know, she obviously might have a couple of mental skeletons in the closet she ain't ready for you to analyze. So, Osiris and Joe, we got the next question coming up. Are you two ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Question number two. Should you have your first date at the house?
Is it on now?
Netflix and chill, baby.
Netflix and chill. That made an excellent Halloween costume. Anybody seen that on the internet?
Yes. Hilarious. Perverted, hilarious at the same time.
did anybody see the baby being born?
Mm-mm.
Oh my god, that was so gross. That was gross.
Yeah.
to the couch.
Hey, man, chill. It's like the new Luther Vandross.
All right, Joe, so should it be done? Should that take place for a first date?
Somebody send that to me because I ain't see it.
Oh, yeah, I had to send it to you. I believe it's on www.ratchetmedia.com.
Mm.
Not right. A real website, but...
I was about to get on there.
Wait. I got a question. Am I supposed to be able to pick between the two of these guys or what? Am I picking?
Yeah, you're supposed to pick between the two. You over there having a ball laughing with them. Osiris' main thing was fun.
At them is a different.
I'm all about the fun.
Okay. Bro. All right, wait a minute. All right, let's let Joe answer the question. Go ahead, Joe.
Should the first date be at the house? Absolutely mm-hmm. not. All right, for two reasons. First reason,
I'm listening.
A majority, and I mean, I'm 28 years old, you know, a majority of bachelorettes nowadays, unfortunately, they have kids. So, you know, I don't believe that anybody that you're not serious about yet should even be introduced. That's just sacred ground right there. Second reason, in public, you really want to know if you can keep this person's attention. Okay, so, you know, I've had an experience where I've gone on dates and, you know, there were wandering eyes or, you know, she wasn't paying attention to the conversation. I need to know these kinds of things, you know, to see if I want to continue having a relationship. So I'd say a public setting would be the ideal first date. You know, that's why the majority of people may go to dinner and a movie, you know, maybe dinner first. You can see if you have if you have that compatibility to see if you even want to take her to the movies, or else it'd be a waste of money.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Osiris, you gonna take on a date to the living room, or what's happening?
Yeah, date to the living room guarantees never ever seeing that person again. that's highly disrespectful. It makes the woman feel like she. Is one of the numbers on the notch on the wall. You know, it's like she's not worthy to be seen. It's just disrespectful. And a woman just want to have fun. Shit. I mean, my thing tonight is fun.
Jennifer, between Joel and Mr. Fun, Mr. Fun Osiris, which one you rolling with?
Well, the first guy made a whole lot more sense, and they both kind of hit on the same thing. But I kind of like the way the first guy put it in plain view. Like I could basically see what he was saying. That just makes so much sense. If somebody's got wandering eyes, like, all over the place, and you just meet this person and you really want to connect, you can't connect if this person is just all over the place. So, yeah.
That's true. All right. So, Mr. Osiris, I appreciate you calling in. We're going to roll with Brother Joe.
All right. I'll
Joe,
be online.
We have made it to the last and final round.
Man, this is like the Royal Rumble.
The last question is, Joe, what is a deal breaker for you?
What is a deal breaker? I said it first and I say it last. Hygiene. I bad hygiene, of course. I'm just sorry. Thank breath.
That's it? Just.
No, I don't think that was it. I think we lost Joe for a second. He's coming back, though. Here we go. Sorry about that, Joe. We lost you after stank breath.
Okay. Yeah, stank breath. You got hair on your feet. You look like a hobbit. And if you have tenants, also known as roaches, that's just absolutely a deal breaker. I think it's like a deal breaker even with some family members. You know, you may rock with a family member for so long, but you visit their house and they got all this going on. I don't want to come back. Sorry.
I'm still on
Lynette, how you feeling?
Hmm?
Jennifer, you in there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
All right. So how you feeling about Joe's response? Is there a connection to be made here or not?
He seems like a pretty cool gentleman. I would definitely try going on a date just to see where it went. He makes a lot of.
So, on the first episode, you are an inaugural connected couple. You guys will both be receiving a gift, Visa gift card for $20, and we appreciate you playing.
Oh my God!
So we're gonna ask y'all to hang. What'd you say, Joe?
I feel so accomplished. I mean, like, really. I mean, the other competitors, they fought a good fight. Hats off to the trainer.
No.
To let go the spoils. That's a whole month
That's a whole month. That is a whole month of Netflix and chill. You know, what do you say, Jennifer?
Well, we know that's not the first date.
Wait, can I change my mind? I don't want to do Netflix and chill.
So I appreciate you guys calling in, and I'm going to ask that you hold the line for a little bit while I collect your information so that we can get the gift card. Big Spiff, take us into the question of the day. The question of the day is going to be, ladies and gentlemen, all access. This is about trust. We got.
When you say all access, what do you really mean?
When you're in a relationship, should you grant your significant other all access?
All access to what?
I'm talking phone. I'm talking Facebook accounts. Should your significant other in an exclusive relationship be granted all access?
Well,
that's the question of the day.
She had access to look at my page. She got access to give me a call. She had all access. Are you talking about getting in yourself?
Yeah, I'm talking about, does your significant other have the ability...
Your password.
Your phone password, to get up any fast in your phone whenever she should decide to.
No, not at all.
Just flat out no.
Flat out.
Ladies and gentlemen, me and Big Spiff going to hash this one out on the air, but please feel free to call in and offer up your opinions on this. I'd like to get some of the opinions out there on this particular topic. And the phones are lighting up as we speak. But go ahead. What do you mean no? Well, how you just no on that?
So
your woman asks you, Spiff, might I have your passcode for your phone, just in case if I should ever need?
And my answer would be no. Just that simple. Why would she need my passwords? And the only reason she would need them is a matter of trust. And if you don't trust me, then you don't need to be with me. Just walk out. Like, if I don't trust you, I don't need your passcode to find out what I'm thinking. If I don't trust you, I'm going to leave. I don't need permission to be with anybody. I leave you.
I really need to hear from a woman on this. Women that are listening, please phone in. I would love to hear your opinions. Let me see who this next caller is online.
Come on, you kidding me, man.
Caller, I got you on the line. Name and location, please.
Stacy, Metro Detroit.
What's up, Stacy? So have you heard the conversation thus far? Do you know what the question on the table is?
Yes, I do. Why wouldn't you want to grant access?
She went right in on you.
That just arises. Why would you want to give them access to everything if you're in an all exclusive relationship?
Well, let me say it for you, since she said it twice very clearly. I think the pimping, you didn't want to hear what she said. She said, why wouldn't you grant her access if you're in an exclusive relationship?
Because it's my stuff. It's not hers. It was separate before I met her. It'll be separate when I leave. She don't need access to it, just like I don't need access to hers. That's a matter of trust in the relationship. If I can't trust you enough that I need to go behind you and look in your personal information, your personal Facebook account or in your phone, just make sure that you're not doing something that I think you shouldn't be doing, because I shouldn't even be with you. anybody that deems that, they're goofy to me, as far as I'm concerned. You got to be a real goofy person, a real insecure person to do that.
What you got, Stacey?
No, I just don't agree. Like,
why, if
I want to see your phone and we're in a relationship, why can't I see your phone? That just
why
doesn't make any sense. And
phone,
if I can't
Stacey?
See your phone, that's going
why
to make me,
to see phone,
that's
going
to make me question our relationship. Like, what are you hiding if I can't see your phone?
The question is, why would you want to see his phone?
For several reasons. There's couples out there that share Facebook pages. There's couples out there that share a
Stacey,
whole bunch of stuff. Like,
you're going around the block, Stacey. You there?
Just because I want to see it. Like, do I really have to have a reason to want access to my man's stuff?
Yeah, you need a reason. Why?
No.
I mean, so you need to make sure he's not cheating on you?
What's his is ours. Like
So Stacey, you're saying
that if you're in a relationship, then you're sharing everything. That's I'm hearing a lot of sharing words coming from what you're saying. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
If you're in a relationship, you're sharing everything. So since we're sharing everything, we should be sharing access as well. If you got nothing to hide, is what you're saying?
That is very. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So let me ask you a question. So, Stacey, does that include sharing bank accounts?
Uh-oh.
Certain bank accounts,
my man said
yes,
bank
I
accounts,
no
and then all of a sudden, all we heard was...
Stacey, so if he wants to go in your bank account, he needs that information. You going to give it up?
I have no problem with sharing.
Oh, you just saying that to me. Come on now. Tell the truth. Tell the
Hold
truth.
On. Can I be a mediating voice here real quick? Stacey, I have to admit, you had a lot of power and passion in your first statement, and then when he said he's going to give up the bank account, you went real flat. Wait,
I mean,
since the soda's flat.
I do believe in sharing bank accounts. I believe that it should be a shared bank account in a relationship. However,
okay,
maybe we need to
do some clarifying here. All right. Stacey, in this example, what type of relationship are we talking about here? Is this your boyfriend or is this your fiance? This your husband? Who are you talking about?
Well, if we are boyfriend or fiance, if we made a commitment that we're
also
only going to be dating each other, we're going to be, it's just us one-on-one, no, like, I mean, yes, like, we should
so
have
Stacey,
shared
so basically,
everything.
Once you decide to exclusively deal with one person, the bank account is open.
Yes.
He's going to your bank account anytime he feel like.
I feel like this should be established.
Okay,
I feel like this should be discussed.
Have you been listening to the show since the beginning, Stacey?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So let's say you're making $5,000.
Oh, you are not about to let this $5,000 thing go.
And the guy is making $28,000. You still feel you'll share your bank account information with him?
That's a whole nother ball game.
Oh,
like,
no! Now, I was not expecting that. You have officially stumped me on that one. Now, Stacey, if you look up sharing in the dictionary, all you see is a picture of Stacey smiling. Like, she's sharing everything. As long as she ain't making two times as much as that dude that she's sharing it with, I think.
Right.
But that should be justifier to making the relationship official. Like, I feel like these things should be out in the open. Like, and if that was discussed at the beginning,
you're changing the whole thing, dynamic of what we were talking about. You saying he should have full access to everything. And now we're discussing money and the fact that you make more money, it should be a problem.
Like, yes, because Like, if you was to look up the rates of divorce and the reason why people get divorced, the number one reason is money. So to eliminate that possibility at the beginning of the relationship, you should, like, bring that up. That should be a factor in determining whether or not we should move to the next level in this relationship. Like,
but
that's the number one reason people get divorced.
But you already in the relationship with this guy. And he makes
well,
more money.
We wouldn't have made it to that point. Like,
okay.
If that was the case.
Okay, Stacey. We don't want to put you on hold because in case we have to come back to you with your sharing stuff.
You say with your sharing ass. Hold on 1 second. So, well, Stacey, we appreciate you calling in. We're going to take another caller here. Let me hear who we got on the line right now. Caller, you on the line. Let me get your name and locale.
Brittany from Romulus, Michigan.
How
you doing, Brittany?
Have you been listening to the show thus far?
I'm
Do you know the conversation on the table?
Yes, I have been.
Brittany,
listening
are you currently involved with somebody?
Yes.
All right, so we got someone who's actually in a relationship right now. Brittany, is your man's password to his phone, is that on the table, his phone, his Facebook, all that good stuff? Do you have it all?
No, I didn't.
Do you feel you should?
I don't feel like. I feel like that's his phone, and my phone is my phone.
My
but
girl.
If you ask for it.
That's
I feel like I'm not going to offer it. I'm not going to just be like, oh, you want the password to my phone? But if you ask me, like, so I can unlock it. You know, I can.
But when
I
you
want to
know why he's asking you for it,
excuse me.
When you want to know why? What's the reason he's asking you for that information?
No, I mean, well, on my phone particularly, we share like my Amazon account, which is logged on onto my phone. So I know if he asks me for it, more than likely he's getting it on Amazon, or he's just using my phone because his phone is cracked. His screen is cracked, so it's easier to see you on a phone that's not cracked. But like I,
okay.
Prior to that, we're not just, you know, we're not just willing to.
No, I'm sure. Okay,
password.
But
no.
But let's say he wants to go on your phone to look through other stuff. Would that be a problem for you?
I don't have anything to hide, but I'm not about to offer up my password, no.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Even though you don't have anything to hide, wouldn't that be a problem?
I would honestly feel like, I feel like if you ask me for my password and you don't already have it, and you just randomly ask me for it, I feel like you're trying to catch me in something, and I feel like if you're
right.
Looking for something, that then you obviously feel like there's something that you don't trust about me, that something just gave you the urge, like, oh, let me look at her phone. So, no, I feel like if we didn't give each other our passwords from the beginning, don't just randomly ask me for my password.
I'm with you, see? With me is
because that means you don't trust me.
You're that sugar honey ice cream, bro.
As far as bank accounts, I think that we have to get established to share bank accounts. Like, you make it say, hey, can I charge something to your card? Because, you know, my card in the car, I give you the money. But you're not just walking around with the password in my bank account. Because unless we're married, those are my funds. And if we break up, you're not about to just be in my account transfer funds.
Right. That's the point I was making with the bank account. People are afraid
like
to say they man or they woman need to give them the access
to
everything. But when they start talking about money, it's a whole different thing.
That's a totally different ballpark. Like, you're not gonna get the access to my bank account unless we're married.
You know, and I feel that.
Even I'm not even gonna say married. I would even say if we live together and we shared some bills, then maybe. But just
you know, that's a very practical outlook. So now y'all both have skin in the game. So we all so what's going on, y'all? Because that person's financial dealings are directly connected with your own.
Right. But if we're just boyfriend and girlfriend, I live here, you live here. We only been kicking it for 3 months. Oh, I love you. Nah. That's not enough love for me to give you my bank account.
Well, Brittany, we appreciate you calling in. We're about to move this on to the last and final segment, which is the vet. Let me explain how the vent works. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone out there within the sound of my voice, go ahead and start calling in. What we want to hear from you is the most screwed up situation, whether it's a single situation or whether it's a situation where you are in a relationship, but we want the most, the worst dating experience or the worst thing your partner has done. And what we're going to do is we're going to take your stories and we're going to put them up for vote. From all the listeners can go to the Heart Race Radio Facebook page and vote for which one is the most screwed up story. The most screwed up winner is going to get a $50 gift card, and we're going to tally up all the votes over the course of the week. So once you're on there, go ahead and call all your friends, tell them to listen to the broadcast and vote for you. The one with the most votes for the most screwed up, we're going to try and make your situation better with a $50 gift card. We got one caller on the line. Let's have it. Hold on a second. Let's bring them in. Caller, you are on the line. Let me hear your name and locale.
Hey, this is Carlos. I'm in Orlando, Florida right now. How y'all doing?
What's going on?
How are you, Carlos?
Hey, what's up? I'm good.
So have you been listening to the show thus far? Do you understand the vent and what's about to happen with the vent? Did you hear that part?
Actually, it blanked out a little bit. If you could give me a little feedback.
All right. So what the vent is we want to hear your most screwed up story. Now, Carlos, are you in a relationship or are you single?
I'm in a relationship right now.
All right, cool. So then we want the most screwed up thing your significant other has done during the course of your relationship.
Can
and what's going to happen is
we're
going to take a couple other callers as well. What was that?
Is it going to be a prior relationship?
It sure can. We don't want to get you in trouble. You can take a prior relationship, and what we're going to do is all the people that call in and share they screwed up vent stories, all the people that call in and vent with us, I'm going to go up for vote. And whoever gets the most votes at the end, by the time we air next week, Sunday night at 10, we'll announce the winner, and that person will get a $50 gift card. So callers, call in. And Brother Carlos, please proceed with your story.
All right. I was previously married. Lovely woman. We were in the military together. Lovely relationship. I had left to go home to check on my mother. She was not doing too well. I was gone for about maybe 3 weeks to a month. I get back and I find out my wife's about a month pregnant. And so we go in, we get it all done with the doctors. Everything's beautiful. They tell me that I have a baby on the way. I'm happy. I'm loved. And then when we find out the sex, she pulls me to the side and she tells me, I want to tell you that we have an issue here because this might not be your baby. And so I asked, I said, okay, I understand people mess up, you know, nights, people have fun. And I said, can I meet the person? Can we get this squared away? Because we're married. I want to make sure. She goes, well, I could introduce you to all three of them if you'd like to sit down and wait.
Ooh.
And
I had to take a step back after that one. Jerry.
I think Carlos won.
You say he won without any competition.
one of them turned out to be my neighbor. The other one turned out to be my first sergeant.
What?
So it was a beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful situation.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Carlos has been through it. Carlos, we appreciate you calling in and sharing that with us. We're going to post that up, and hopefully you'll be able to get a little something for what happened with you.
This man can't give me a straight face. He got to laugh at me.
That was your ex-wife, right?
What did you say?
Your ex-wife, right?
Yes. I wouldn't have kept that. What's wrong with you?
No, I'm just saying. I want to make sure when I call that dirty slut, you're not mad.
Oh, no. You can call her.
So, all right. So we're going to put Carlos Dirty Slut on the Facebook page. But you already got my vote, but.
Thanks for calling in, Carlos. Let's see who else we got on the line here. Next story, proceed. Let's see. Let's get him in. All right. So you are on the line. State your name and locale.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. This Heart
State
Race
your name
Radio.
And location.
Man, this is Jerome from Detroit, man. This is where we call and tell some fucked up shit, right?
Yeah,
this is precisely where you call and tell some fucked up shit.
Tell you motherfuckers what happened to me today. How about that?
What you got?
I don't give a fuck if I win this shit. I just want to air this. This shit go on the internet? This go on the internet?
Yeah.
Oh, man, let me tell you about this bum-ass bitch. Look, so I'm with this. Matter of fact, I'm still in a relationship because bitch ain't answer my call when I was trying to break up with her, okay? So I take this bum bitch. I say, you ain't got no job. You ain't got shit to do. You know, so I said, go to school. What do you like to do? She said, I want to be a talk show host or a radio host or some shit, right? So there's a little school around here called Beck Howard. Okay, Beck Howard radio broadcasting school. I say, all right, let's go up here and let's go get you set up. Okay, we're going to go up there. I'm going to show my support. So we go up there. They make you take this little aptitude test, right? So first off, the dumb bitch didn't even have any pockets when she went. I'm just going to leave that there. She didn't have any pockets. Okay, so I'm sitting there, and I'm holding her phone while her ass is taking this aptitude test, right? Phone is going off, okay, vibrating. I'm sitting on the phone. I trusted that bitch. Let me tell you, I trusted her. So I didn't look at the phone. Phone kept ringing. I'm like, okay, maybe this is somebody important calling. So I look at the screen. I see text messages, and I see it's from this dude named Andy. Fuck is Andy? I never heard of Andy before. I've been talking to you for a year and a half. I never heard of Andy. Who the fuck is Andy? So I'm looking at the phone, and I'm like, okay, Andy wants something. So I try to go in the phone to see what all the calls are about.
Just do it.
Like a string of text messages. I can't get into the inbox, okay? So I'm like, what the fuck? I can't get in the inbox. Let me check the outbox. I get in the outbox. Talking to Andy all kind of greasy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed you today.
Hey, y'all. I hit her ass. Right? First off, she came out. She failed the damn test, right? So she failed the test. Dumbass. You're going to lock your inbox. Not the outbox. Third, failed the test. You don't deserve to be no fucking broadcaster. Like I said, I didn't fucking care if I win this show. I'm just being. I'm probably all over the place right now, but I pissed the fuck off. So she failed the test. Fucking counselor was like, hey, well, you can come back in 60 days and your boyfriend is here for support. I'm not your boyfriend right now. You don't know I'm not your boyfriend, but I'm not your boyfriend. So we come back to the house and, you know, I tried to hold it together. I get out the car. I went ape shit. And I said, I need to see you tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to collect myself. So you talk this shit out. But still ain't answer the phone. She answered the phone. So, Jill, if you can hear this shit, this shit is going on the internet. Don't be it. You're a stupid bitch.
What was your name again, sir?
Jerome.
That was
Jerome. Jerome. All right. So we got Jerome and the aptitude as our Jerome aptitude check is the next one. Jerome, we appreciate you calling in. We're gonna take the next call here in a second. Jerome's aptitude test. Oh my goodness. Caller, we got you on the line. Please give me your name and locale.
Hey, what's up, man? It's TJ from South Carolina.
Oh, snap. We got Dirty South in the building. What's going on, TJ?
Yeah. Ain't nothing much, man.
All right. So, have you heard the show thus far? Do you know have you heard about the vent and what you need to be telling us about?
Yeah. I thought I had a story beforehand, but after hearing your first calling, your boy can just drop the mic and just keep going. There's absolutely nothing, dog. That can top that at this point in time.
go and give it a try anyway, brother TJ.
Yeah. All right, well, let's see. I was in a, this is some years ago. I was in a relationship with a young lady. Wanted to keep me in the relationship, and she decided she wanted to lie about getting pregnant and also lie about having an abortion.
Whoa.
Wait. How do you both lie about getting pregnant and having an abortion? Which was the stuff she was saying is...
See, the thing about it was, like, Anytime she talked about having a doc's appointment or anything like that, like it would be at times where like I'd be in school or anything like that. So everything always kept, you know, all the appointments and shit like that she was making was always suspicious. So I mean, okay. First call is top dog, though.
My man is conceited. Yeah. Appreciate you calling in, TJ.
Yeah.
We're gonna put TJ with the lion. How do we even classify that one?
Fake abortion, fake pregnancy.
There we go. Yeah. The fake process. Appreciate you calling in, T.
Yeah, no problem, Chief.
All right, so we are coming up on the end of this program. I want to thank everybody that participated in the first episode of Heart Race Radio.
Great show, man. I really do.
I appreciate your minutes. I tend to agree. Hopefully everybody out there thought the same. We're going to wrap this up, and what did you take with you, Big Spiff, across the finish line?
Well, I ran across the finish line, especially the last three callers, is that a lot of women ain't shit.
Damn.
I mean,
I'm going to need you to make yourself a little bit more crystal clear with that one.
You see, we ain't have no women calling.
We had a couple of women callers.
Not on this last portion of the show.
Oh, okay. So you're just going to call out the entire female listener base. You're just going to call them out.
No, I didn't say all. I said a lot of them.
Okay.
And listening to these stories, these are horrible stories.
So you're saying you only got the male perspective tonight.
Right. And I'm expecting to hear some women talk about how a man cheated on them or something like that. She had three different dudes that got her pregnant. I got one that just lied about being pregnant and an abortion. Then the other one, she's stupid and gave her phone up to the brother. Man, that's wow. You know?
Yeah.
So
what you took across the finish line is that you just heard a few too many bad stories about the women tonight.
Oh, yeah, I said this is a lot of women.
You know what? I got one call coming in. You think we got time for one more?
Let's take one more
and see who we got on the line here. Callie, I got you on the line. Name and locale.
Hello?
Yeah, we got you on the line. What's your name and location?
Linda Clay.
Linda Clay, nice to meet you. Where you calling from, Linda?
I'm calling from Staten Island.
Staten Island, Linda.
New York.
So tell us, have you heard the show thus far? Do you know what's on the line right now? We're trying to find out about your worst scenario that you've had either dating or in a relationship.
Well, I haven't heard the conversation because I was trying to get through and I couldn't get through and I couldn't hear and I had to call someone you know to get the connection, and she told me to call the number. So we on the
line.
All right.
Well, we got you on the line now, and this is the question that's on the line. What we want to know is, either in a relationship or while you were single and dating, what's one of the worst situations that you've had?
Where I went out to dinner with a date, and the date didn't tell me he had no damn money. And
Yeah, I don't have money, Linda.
My credit card, because I had to pay for the damn meal.
Woo!
In history, right? He went in the history book.
Well, I bet he did.
You know
what? What?
All right, so. Linda, we appreciate you calling in. So Linda finally gave us some female perspective. We got somebody who wasn't and who didn't bring the wallet to the occasion for the date. That's we're gonna have to write that one down. Linda had the deadbeat date.
Deadbeat date.
All right, Linda. We do have another caller. I see the people getting upset. They got to call in and talk about it. Caller, let me hear what you got. This is Inquest. You are on the line. Name and locale. You out there?
Hello?
Yeah, we are on the line. We're waiting on you.
Oh, I didn't know y'all could hear me. I thought the show was hilarious. Someone sent me the link. It is funny. I don't really
appreciate it.
To say, but it's just, I like the show.
Well, I appreciate you calling in with that. And thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm from Detroit. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't say that. suburban area.
So you have no, before we let you go, though, you have no bad experiences from dating or from in a relationship?
Bad experiences, but I mean, not like that, because I got rid of
them. Not like those, right?
She's like, if I can't compete, I ain't even going to tell it.
No, you know you can't compete with these women that don't got standards. You just got to let them go. Yeah, all right.
I feel you. Well, we really right. appreciate you tuning in and listening to the show. Thank you for calling in.
All right.
All right, well, we are going to wrap this one up. This is Inquest and Big Spiff. And we appreciate everybody for listening to the first episode of Heart Race Radio. Tune in next Sunday at 10 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com. Tell your friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. And we out.